is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas, here's Matt Perrault.
Continuing on a Friday, SB Nation Radio, Pushing the Odds. We head back to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. Christian DeAndre, SBNation.com, covering the NFL. Christian, Matt Perrault, how are you?
Matt, I am doing great. How about yourself?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for asking. Thanks for coming on. Let's start with last night's Eagles and Browns game. Did you learn more about the Browns or the Eagles in that game last night?
I think what we learned last night, the big takeaway, is that Nick Foles is trick-or-treat Nick Foles again.
Yep.
Just an awful, awful performance from him. Tough to believe this guy was the Super Bowl MVP. I mean, as a Patriots fan, watching that performance did nothing but enrage me. In case you didn't see it, Nick Foles' performance on the night was, first off, he tripped over his own feet for safety. He was strip sacked. And he also threw two interceptions, one of which was in the red zone. Foles responsible for all 5 points the Browns scored last night. And yes, that was all the scoring we saw. It was a 5-0 game. If you watched that game last night, I feel like I should apologize on behalf of the NFL, and that was horrible.
Well, I'm a Patriot fan, too, and I bet the game, so I watched the entire thing because I had to sweat that last drive out because I thought a field goal was going to cost me. I had the Browns minus three last night, so I watched every darn second of that game last night, and I'm with you. I think Nick Foles should have been traded after the Super Bowl because his stock was never going to be higher, and this is, I agree, trick or treat, hot or cold, whatever you want to call it, but it sure seems like the bad version of Nick Foles has shown up at camp this year for the Philadelphia Eagles. Where do you come down on that decision for Philadelphia to retain him while Carson Wentz rehabs?
No, I understand that from Philadelphia's point of view. Wentz is still no sure thing. He has yet to play in the preseason. He's looked good in practice. He's looked mobile. But not only is he coming back from an injury, he's also going to regress. Bill Barnwell came out on ESPN, had a great rundown just how out of this world his numbers were last year and how unlikely he is to continue that no matter how good he is. It's just a fact of NFL quarterbacks. They're going to fall back down to earth. So having that insurance and a guy like Foles is A, pretty useful, and B, let's take a look back at 2016. This is the same team that traded Sam Bradford for a first-round pick, really got its stuff together, really took advantage of that Teddy Bridgewater injury. I think they're waiting to see if something similar happened this preseason where a starting quarterback went down. We saw it, obviously, 2 years ago with Bridgewater. We saw it last year with Ryan Tannehill. The odds of a player going down and jacking up Nick Foles' value were always going to be decent, so it just added more reason not to trade Nick Foles during the offseason, wait it out. And there's still time. Foles is still going to be one of the more attractive guys out there, although old friend Bridgewater, doing great work Jets right now, might be the more viable option.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Let's go to the other side and what Cleveland has done here in the preseason. Obviously, Hard Knocks has made this team very likable. It's made it kind of into America's team, and this is a unit where I've said it all preseason. If you take the name the Cleveland Browns off of this team and you look at the sheer talent on the roster, this is a team that should win 5, 6, 7 games easy this year. But they are the Browns, so everyone's saying, got to remember, it's the Cleveland Browns. But what's your outlook on this team for this season?
I agree with you there. I don't see how much different this team is than last year's Bills. They even have the same quarterback. The one thing the Bills have that the Browns don't have is a dynamic uniting force like LeSean McCoy, who can give you big yards both in the passing game and the run game. But there's still a ton of talent on the offensive side of the ball. Not only do you have a solid caretaker quarterback in Taylor, you also have a big play guy in Baker Mayfield. It's the most optimistic quarterback situation they've had since they were rebooted in 1999. Obviously, you got to worry about the receiving core. If Josh Gordon comes back full strength, you have two guys at the top of the depth chart at receiver who can make plays, make things happen. Guy I really like is David Njoku, athletic freak who can not only catch these short passes from Taylor, but he can also go up the seam and catch those 20, 30-yard passes from a guy like Mayfield. I feel like there is a ton of potential there. But, yeah, like you said, we've been burned by the Browns so many times. I mean, I had really liked what Sashi Brown was doing, building from the inside out, replenishing his defensive and offensive lines. Where'd that get him last year? 0-16. It somehow this franchise finds ways to burn you even when they have the talent. I do see this being a 4-5, maybe 6-win team. I think they can be better than anyone expected, but at the same time, how many times are you going to get your heart broken, Cleveland?
It's true. I love Emmanuel Ogba. I love Myles Garrett. I think Garrett's going to have a huge year. And your latest piece for SBNation.com is on, I think, a piece that doesn't get enough credit in David Njoku, who had 4 touchdown tosses catches last year from, let's be frank, a crap quarterback situation in Cleveland. Now they have a much different quarterback situation, a much better one. I think Njoku is going to double that. I think he's got 8 or more touchdowns coming up this year for Cleveland. Do you agree or disagree?
I do agree with you there, especially when you look at Seth DeValve's been hurt. And if you take a look at the two quarterbacks he's got thrown to him, every year Tyrod Taylor was the starter in Buffalo. Charles Clay's numbers went up. And they went up even though the overall passing output went down. Taylor's a guy who relies on his tight ends. If he's starting, he's going to, and we saw this last night, he's going to look for Njoku on those short to intermediate routes and let his athletic tight end gain the yards after catch. And then on the other side, Mayfield takes over. Here is a guy who turned David Andrews into his top threat at Oklahoma last year. He turned a big, moderately fast, maybe not as athletic as Njoku, but similar tight end, into a guy who averaged about 17 yards per catch with the Sooners. He is a Mayfield knows he can find his guys up the seam when it comes to tight end. If you are a fantasy football guy and you want a mid-round tight end that can give you better than expected production, I do like Njoku. I think he is your guy.
Totally agree. Christian, tonight, Patriots on the road taking on the Carolina Panthers. Here in Vegas, the line opened up as Carolina -2.5, but we've seen a lot of money pouring on the Patriots. It's flipped around. It's the Patriots -1.5. They're favored now going into this one. Who do you like tonight in this? Because the Patriots, look, Brady's going to play a lot. According to Brady, he wants to play deep into the third quarter coming up tonight. I don't know if Patriot fans like to see that, really, but what do you make of the Patriots and the Panthers tonight?
Yeah, I got to agree with the way that line has swung. Not only do the Patriots have those frontline starters that are obviously going to impress, but the way that their backups and reserves have been playing this preseason, they've been not only extending leads like they did last week against the Eagles, but we saw them come back against Washington and flip the tide in that game. Now you got a ton of hungry young guys who are trying to impress Belichick. They know exactly what they need to do to make that roster. They're going to be going out and they're going to be playing hard. And they're only going to have, quarter and a half to really audition based on what we heard Brady say. So I do like that Patriots, even at -1 for them. I would still take them. Obviously, that's basically a coin flip. Really, really enjoying watching this Patriots team trying to figure out what the hell they're going to do about their receivers. Yep. This looks like the year that Tom Brady turned Rashay Caldwell into a #1 wideout. It is just a grim, grim depth chart at wideout right now. You can make the case that after that fifth game when Julian Edelman comes back to the lineup, they'll be okay. And obviously with Rob Gronkowski, the wide receiving lineup is not as important as it is in other teams. But at the same time, there's not a lot of name value on that roster right now. Cordarrelle Patterson looks like he's going to be the #3 wideout once everyone's healthy. Maybe they can turn him into the player the Vikings thought they were getting in the first round way back when. But I need to see it before I can believe it. I feel like they're just getting the newest version, a more stable version of Percy Harvin, and the frustrations are going to melt.
Yeah, I agree. Christian, got about a minute left. Are you pro Dez Bryant with the Patriots or anti?
Oh, boy. I am pro just because that receiving core is so shallow right now. I think if you bring him in on a one-year deal, they got the cap space to do it. I don't think he would be enough of a distraction in the locker room to really make a difference. I like the idea of it. At the same time, I don't think he has a ton to bring to the table right now. His skill is declining. His best asset is that he's a big red zone target, and that's not necessarily what the Patriots need right now, especially when you got a guy like Gronk in the lineup. I think he does bring value, but I feel like the Patriots should have been better equipped. They just got killed by injuries and ineffectiveness. If you take a look at the way that wide receiver depth chart looked in March compared to how it looks now, just absolutely brutal the way everything turned out for New England. Tough to feel bad about them. And you know Brady's going to elevate a guy like Riley McCarron to a weird status that no one saw coming. But, yeah, not sure. Not sold on Brian.
Yeah, I would agree. Christian, great stuff today. Thanks for the time. Enjoy the games tonight.
Always a pleasure. Talk to you later.
That is Christian DeAndre, SBNation.com, covering the NFL for us on the Rocket Mortgage by Quick Loans hotline. We'll talk more about the Patriots receiving core and can you be in sports and sports media if you don't watch football? Michelle Beadle making that admission. Talk about that next. SBNation Radio.